Hi everyone, this is Deborah Sky King and welcome to Discovering Your Soul's Purpose, week training 6. And this week we are going to begin speaking about preparing for the new self to emerge. First, I'm going to outline a couple of questions from my book, Discovering and Living Your Soul's Purpose, The Keys to Your Future. So we're just going to go over a couple of things and then dive into them. So first, you might find that you are creating challenges that are from your old life or your old patterns. And here's an example. You're wanting to leave work. You've wanted to leave your job for years, and you do not like it. And just for stats reasons, there's over 80% of people not just dislike, but actually hate their jobs and don't enjoy going to them. And so for the last couple of years or even months, you've wanted to leave your job. It's not where you want to be. You know, there are greater things going on in life and you want to do something different, completely different, that's going to support that growth. And what happens is maybe you find that the people around you are becoming more delightful to work with, or you might get a raise or a promotion. And so you might weigh out like, oh wow, maybe this isn't so bad. And I can be here because it looks like it's getting better. And once you make that decision, then things get worse. And that's a challenge. It's always the universe is always really finding out what you desire, what you really want in life, and presenting to yourself the opportunity to make the decision to say yes or to say no, to go for it or not to go for it. And this is the thing. If you know that you want to make particular changes in your life and changes in situations that are happening, and you're not doing it, it's because you haven't decided to. You haven't said, okay, in 3 months, I'm going to be leaving my job on this date. Here is my resignation letter. Here's what I'm going to be doing afterwards. I'll start preparing a month before to make the transition, and that's how it's going to be. And if even though things around you get nicer and better and more supportive, and you know, you might get a raise, that's your decision. The follow-through is a necessity, because what you're doing is you're vibrationally, energetically experiencing to the planet and the world, and to your own self, of course, but to the universe, that when you make a decision, you're sticking to the decision, you're following through, which means it'll give you more things and more opportunities to work with. Or here's another thing. Having a new relationship form in your life and meeting somebody who you just think is incredible, yet you've just gained your independence in 5 years, or in 10 years, or 3 decades, or 20 decades, or even 2 months. Allowing yourself to have that space and knowing and knowledge of that you are gaining independence, which means that most people are very codependent in relationships. So when they come out of them, there's a time for healing and so forth. And you might find that a new relationship shows up, but you still haven't actually healed with the actual core pattern that, you know, you create relationships based on the same thing all the time. And I hear this so many times from women, that it's like each relationship gets worse and worse, and they seem to find and attract the same kind of guy. And the only reason for that is because you're not seeing the pattern. You're not seeing the core issue of what you're presenting to yourself through a relationship that needs to be healed. And one way to do that is to become independent, find out what that core is, and heal it, so that when you do go into another relationship, you can recognize the patterns when they show up, and you can deal with it and have a choice to work with it in a different manner, to recognize the pattern. So instead of saying yes to a new relationship that's just showed up, that's fresh, when you're still healing, you can make the decision to say no to it, and that you need time to get to know you, and then develop into a relationship at a pace that maybe you're not used to, more slow, more quick, depending on what your pattern has been, you know, and really finding out what that is, and seeing it and knowing it. Because if you go from one relationship to the next, and the next, and the next, you probably don't know your identity of self, of who you are. So here's another one. Family issues are overtaking your own personal time, and dramas are being created. So when creating new boundaries, when you're creating a new lifestyle, and you have people in your life, or other friends or family, who are really heavy energy, really negative energy, and persistent in bringing up things that are not relative to who you are today, but might be something that's 15 years old, and they still present themselves to you in that relationship as that person, but you're not even close to being that person because it's 15 years later and you've changed. And I hear this a lot, you know. Well, I really want to move. I want to, you know, recently I want to live in Italy and I want to, you know, write my book. And then as the woman was getting ready to do all the booking and everything else and take that decision and, you know, go on an extended stay from her work, and one of her parents got sick, and she instantly went into thinking that she should not go and that she should stay home and take care of this person. But this is a person that she's been trying to get away with because the damage of the relationship has completely made a dysfunctional relationship for her in her life, and just not a very supportive relationship whatsoever. So going and having that happen, it's like instantly. So do you give up on your dream, or do you take care of your ailing parent who you are trying to get away with, get away from, because they're toxic to you? And most people would be like, well, I'd stay home with my parent. But then that's not unveiling anything that's going to assist the individual, unless the parent is going into their own healing crisis, and then that can be healed. So it's, you know, these things show up as patterns, as challenges, always to stretch you, always to give you an opportunity to say yes or no to the situation. Here's another one that's so common. Friends show up with problems and want you to resolve them, like you have for years, yet you no longer want this kind of friendship. You've already decided that you do not want this type of friendship, yet it keeps on reappearing because you have not clearly made the decision or the confirmation and the commitment of saying, I no longer want to communicate with this person and let them know that, because you know, are no longer available to be a stepping stone, or the person who they always phone to communicate with and talk about their problems when that drags you down. So this is in relationship also to preparing for the new self to emerge. Because there are thousands of people that I've worked with around the planet who are in that transitional stage of growth and moving from one place to another in their lives on every level, not just professionally, but personally, intimately, financially, emotionally, and physically, that there is this in-between, and it's always the challenging place of saying, are you really ready to move? You know, to move on into a whole new space. And most people feel like they'll never get ahead, let alone out of debt or in your new lifestyle in which you're desperately wanting to embark upon. So why do you think this would happen? So with each new venture in life, there's always a new challenge. And when you are at the crossroads of change, the transformations that are available are unlimited. They are only limited by your ability to expand into them. This is where a mentor or coach is a necessity to have in life. So providing that you have a mentor or a coach who can assist you through these moments, this is where you're able to really move through them, have the support, and then go into that massive, larger field of experience because it allows you to be there. And most people find themselves alone and empty or unheard, so they continue on believing that it would be easier to live the life that they do, and they never take that extra step. And usually, you know, it really is that one step that leads you into that greatness, that leads you into that next complete new awareness, so you can expand into a whole new reality of your own life. So preparing for the new self to emerge is one that takes decision making, confidence in the projected idea, and you would not be taking this course if you do not believe that you cannot make it in discovering your soul's purpose, as you have a firm belief inside of you that shares that truth, that yes, you can and will know your soul's purpose to bring you into alignment in your life. So even though if the mind says no, the heart and the soul know differently. So here are four key areas that you can use to emerge. The emotional maturity, mental clarity, physical identity, spiritual connectivity. So emotional maturity. Many people are walking around with the emotional body of a six-year-old, most. Some are at 3 and others are at 8. But over 97 to around 99% of the human population have not yet developed in their awareness of emotional maturity. When you were a young girl or boy, you had many experiences which stunted your growth and stopped you from developing emotionally. It usually happens when you've been abused on any level, maybe verbally, physically, emotionally, or shut down by expressing your true self. And that happens to most children. Some children just don't even, it doesn't faze them. They're completely defined. It passes through them. But most children, there's something that has triggered at some point. That moment becomes etched in time within you, physically, in a pattern of cellular memory. And this memory presents itself whenever something triggers it. Could be something your lover or your partner says to you, a boss or a friend. And you react to it with illogical behavior and are ultra sensitive to it, even in the moments when you are completely shut down. Do you know why? It is because of the pain that has caused you in the past. So, there are a lot of people who are emotionally shut down because of the layers of pain in which they've gone through and experienced. And so they build this wall around them, and they actually build it around their heart, and it gets deeper and deeper and deeper in their body. So they're not able to express themselves from that heart level. And it's a idea that they're protecting themselves. And it's usually from the mindset of the individual because of past experiences. So this week, right now, I want to ask you to open up when you feel that happening, okay? Breathe it in. When you feel shut down or closing in on yourself, open up. Take a deep breath and move into it. So you know when you shut down, you know when you close off, you know when somebody walks towards you and your energy field encases you, surrounds you, and makes you smaller. And it should be the other way around. It should be that you expand when another person shows up or a new situation. But there's a very large populace that closes in on themselves. So this way you can have a clear relationship with the emotion and understand where it really is coming from. Because if it is a reaction, it will never be from the present moment. It will always, always be from the past. You only react to past information. You only respond in the moment, from the moment. So mental clarity. Recurring patterns of old thoughts replay in your mind over again, reminding you that you're not going to change, that you'll not be able to manifest that dream, or that you cannot bring to you the perfect relationship that you desire. All of that mental clutter is nonsense. It is made up from fears that are etched in your mind as old patterns that were instilled in you again from the past. And there is no way that your mind would be cluttered if you were in the present moment. It's quite impossible, actually, because what happens is the body's disposition realigns itself to a whole new level of energy when you're currently in the moment, and that's how creation happens, from that place. You'll be present and not wandering into the past or jumping out into the future. And all those thoughts are, what if, or should have, representing a false statement. So if you say what if, it's usually what is, like coming up in the future, or should have, is the past. And usually in the moment, it's what can I do now. So to emerge into the new you, your mind must become still to receive, for in the receiving is where the clarity of truth sets in. With 20 minutes a day, anywhere to meditate, and earliest in the morning is the best. That is a key, and I have been saying it every week, because I wanted to instill you with the simplicity of life. So as a mind is clear from the day's accumulated energetic influx of emotions, physical endurance, and mental strain, 20 minutes a day just to meditate and sit and listen to yourself, to calm the mind, the present moment, takes discipline. It really does. But you know, consistently breathing into the moment and placing your energy firmly into your heart. On receiving conversations, emotional energy moving through you, and be present to another when they show up. This way your mind can relax and get out of the flight or fight syndrome created by the repeated patterns brought up by a chemical reaction by your glandular system. And that will offset stress. So many different emotions. 20 minutes a day, that's it. Your breathing patterns would change, your mindset would change, how you physically hold yourself would change. 1 year, 20 minutes. Your physical identity. So boundaries are really in place when you feel comfortable the most, where you have the choice and option to say yes or no, based on your terms and no one else's. Boundaries can be placed in speech, physical intimacy, verbal communication, and energetic relationships to oneself and others, and your physical identity, and how it is perceived and received from the world around you. Past experiences of your physical identity can create an unpleasant and unhealthy boundary around you. Most people are clueless about the boundaries, and there's many reasons for this. One is, you've never been really taught about them as a curriculum for life, depending on who your parents are, but if you're one of the very lucky ones, most people have no clue. And also another thing, your boundaries were taken away from you as a child, and they were dictated by parents, society, the system, teachers, and other people who are presumed to be, you know, the adults. And also, of course, in any kind of trauma or abuse, that is taken away. And the boundaries get mixed up and really unclear. And I mean, that happens. It happens in so many different dynamic ways. But the good thing is that boundaries can be learned at any time. And I have a course in boundaries alone for women. And it's not for men, this particular course, because it's in relationship to men. So for all you men out there, there's David Dead, and there's also another one that has courses for men on boundaries and relationships with women. So boundaries are so important because it really is the place where people understand where when you say no, you mean no. And when you say yes, you mean yes. And there's no in between. And this can be in anything. And it also sets in the intention of integrity of which you come from, and other people can recognize that too. The place of honesty within yourself and truth. And the clarity of who you have about your own physical identity. And I'm saying the physical identity because it's an energy field which surrounds you and which communicates to the world around you. So if you walk into a party, there can be some people that you look at right away and you identify with them. And there's other people that you do not want to identify with because they turn you off. You don't even know them, but their energy turns you off. And there could be many reasons, but boundaries is usually one of them. And you see that in physical expression. So here are a couple of things that I wrote down about physical identity. You are your most important investment in life. You. Not your family. Not your spouse. Not your children. And I'm going to say this in the clearest way I can. Without you, there would be no children. There would be no partner. And without you, there would be no investment to the children and no investment to the partner, because you wouldn't be around. So your most important investment is to yourself, so you can show up for others. And for yourself, of course. But personal development, spiritual growth, physical endurance, physical health, all of these things are the investments in which you should be placing at the top priority in your life. These are the things which will sustain you and create the joy, the happiness, the peace inside, and the endurance of life itself. So there is no disease going on in the body, in the organs, in the mind, in the heart. You are your most important investment in life. I always use this analogy. When I was pregnant, there were some books that I read, just a couple of them. I think there was three of them that I read that were based on natural women who have given birth in the ocean, or who have lived, you know, totally alone with their partners and given birth and so forth. And just their take on herbology and different things that to feed your body, and raspberry leaf and so forth. And one thing that I remembered reading, and it stood out so strongly, was that when you are on a plane with a baby, a young child, your first instinct would be is to take the oxygen mask in a state of emergency and give it to your child so the child could breathe. Well, if there's ever an emergency on a plane and you need to use the oxygen with your child, you give it to yourself first and then to your child. If you're not around, who's going to take care of the child? The child can't. The child needs you. And now I'm going on a deeper level here, because the child within you needs you to take care of yourself and invest into yourself on every single level that you can. So instead of going out and purchasing clothes that you have no need for, or buying utensils and buying appliances, or buying things that have really you do not need, take that need, which is an emotional need, and redirect it back to yourself of what you can do for you that will feed your mind, your body, your emotions, and your soul. And this is only really in direction of, you know, the things that you really don't need. Like, do you really need that third TV in your house? Actually, you don't. I mean, it's ridiculous. But, you know, if that's your necessity at this point in your life, then it is. But, you know, if you thought, well, instead of doing that, instead of lounging out and watching somebody else entertain me, why don't I go out and entertain myself with a bunch of inspirational people, or enroll into a course that's going to advance me, or going to enlighten me, or going to transform me from the person who sits in front of the TV for 5 hours a day and doesn't actually participate outside of that. You know, so moving into this new emerging of self asks you to take a different look, a different perspective at life, a different avenue of being. You deserve to give and receive love. So to say to yourself, I deserve to receive love. I deserve to give love. I deserve to give and receive love. And you are safe in relationships to people, places, emotionally, and in finances. So you'd say to yourself, I am safe in relationships with people, with places, emotionally, and financially. You do that. Just say it 5 times to yourself, out loud or inside yourself. I am safe in relationship to people, places, emotionally, and in finances. 3. You are self-aware of how your physical identity is presented to the world, how you stand, enter a room, embark upon communication, and also by how you engage in intimacy. Self-assurance, self-confidence, identifying with self, you know, and not self with the small self, the small ass, it's the big ass. So it's not, oh, how do I show up in the world and flash my stuff, or how do I look? It's you. Your identity of self, meaning your higher self, your energetic, your embodiment of your spirit. How does that show up? When you enter a room, when you communicate with people, when you engage intimately with your partner, how are you showing up? Are you present? Are you participating? Are you fully there? Is everything, all your senses, awakened to that moment? You are a powerful individual who expresses herself and himself from her own truth, understanding that all people have a direct relationship with their truth, even if it is one that is based in fear and illusion. So even if other people are in fear, that is their own truth in the moment. But they are in direct relationship to the truth in that moment. They'll call upon you to be judgmental or egotistical. It's allowing that presence just to be. And through your self-physical identity, showing up that way in your own truth, that can be a reflector to other people. Doesn't mean it will be, it could be. And you are committed to your relationship to be empowered and know that other people's understandings are their own responsibility, not yours. Now you know this very well, that there are so many people. Could be you, could be your friends, could be your parents, could be somebody that you know. that you believe other people's situations are your own and that you have to be responsible for how they're feeling, which is absolutely untrue. If somebody is emotionally depressed and you reach out to offer support and it's not well received, and then you take it on emotionally yourself, or finding certain ways to better the individual or whatever you might believe. But that's not your responsibility at all, unless they ask for it. How another person shows up is not your responsibility. Your responsibility is to show up how you want to. And you might be very surprised that other people begin to show up in the same manner. Once you hold your truth and be that truth, you find that the world around you starts reflecting that back. You play small, other people play small. You play big, the players show up in a big way. You speak honestly at first to yourself and then to others, being accountable to your reality and outcomes. Now, there are so many people who are not honest with themselves, not with other people either, but with themselves. You know, if you really, really love playing the harmonica, like really love it, but you don't, for many reasons. Play the harmonica. Just do whatever you love to do. You know, if you love dancing naked, go and do that too. You know, whatever it is that brings you satisfaction, of course, that is integral to you and doesn't cause harm to other people, then be honest about that. Be honest about the things that bring to you love of service to yourself. And that's really about being accountable to your own reality. And then the outcomes are based on what you've created. And that creates a larger representation of accountability to yourself. Because you're making it. It's your life. So in the next 2 weeks, we'll be focusing and peeling away the layers to understanding yourself in a new light and way, mastering what you have learned here, and more so with the other 2 weeks, because it's moving into the mastery and understanding what are the tools that you can use. So spiritual connectivity. You are a spiritual being, a body of light encased in the physical body to organically evolve within its own brilliance and soul expression. Most people have been separated in their mind, emotionally and energetically. At any moment, that severed expression can return to wholeness. It does take time for most people to develop that inner strength and understanding that they are safe and are not abandoned or have been rejected. But it has been a journey the soul has decided to embark upon, if for only a mere moment in time, or for eons. The results are the same: the soul growth and the evolution. So I place much emphasis on meditating at least 20 minutes a day, which is so little, but for most, your lives are perceived to be very busy and disorganized. So adding 20 minutes to engage with your own spirituality and godhood might seem a little stretch, but as you can see, but what I just said sounds pretty silly. Doesn't it? Really? Adding 20 minutes to engage with your own spirituality and godhead? Godhood? That's not really a lot. If you can, let's just imagine this, okay? Let me put this out there because most people relate to money. So let's imagine 20 minutes a day. If you invested into yourself 20 minutes a day, and let's say it started off at $5. So for like the first couple of months, it's like $5 every 20 minutes, right? You take $5 and you put it to the side. So every time you meditate for 20 minutes, boom, $5. And after a while, okay, good. You're there. You're getting the momentum, and you're now like, okay, I can feel this. This is really working for me. It's really engaging me, and I'm finding more peace of mind and clarity and a whole bunch of other things. And after the 2 months, let's just say, the third month, it gets up to $15 every 20 minutes. So every day that you take 20 minutes, boom, $15 to the side. In that big bucket, in that big pile, in that whatever it is, that basket. After 3 weeks, it goes up to $25. After 4 months, it goes up to $50. 20 minutes for $50. After 6 months, it's $100 every 20 minutes. After a year, it's $500 every 20 minutes that you meditate. That is the equality of how much energy you are pouring into your body financially. So imagine if somebody gave you $500 for 20 minutes to meditate. What kind of results would you be looking for within yourself if somebody did that? If they said, in the first 2 months, I'm going to give you $5 to meditate 20 minutes a day. And after 2 months, I'll give you 15. After 3, 25. After 6, 50. After a year, 500. Oh, sorry, I missed $100 there. Do you think you'd be pretty jived about that? I think you would be. That's how I want you to think about what you're doing every time that you meditate. That's how much you're actually investing into yourself. And the more you do it, the better you get. So the value increases in the dollar signs. Because the more you invest into yourself, the more value you have to invest into the world around you, into your relationships, into your business, into your family life, into your pleasures, into your desires and dreams. That's how invested you should be in your own 20 minutes a day. So when I ask people to take 20 minutes a day to do that, they're like, okay, yeah. And they just don't do it. And they don't feel inspired, or they're just like, can't be that easy, so I'm just not going to do it. But really, you can do it in the shower, you can do it anywhere. Just begin it, just do it. If I said to somebody, I'll give you $500 right now to sit and meditate for 20 minutes. They'd be like, okay, like how do I do that? Yeah, I'm on it right now, and my eyes are closed. And at first they really wouldn't, they'd hear a lot of chattering in their head and they'd be fidgety, or they'd feel like, oh, my back hurts, or whatever it might be. And then maybe after the first week, this person's got, $3,500 sitting in front of them after the seventh day. And he's like, wow, I can really invest my time into this. Because not only the rate of return, the ROI that I'm getting on this financially, I'm getting emotionally balanced. I'm getting physical integrity within my body. You know what? My life's changing. So what's happened? The value is the equality to the gain. So the most important thing you will ever do is spiritually connect to your divinity. It is the bare essence of all expression of Source. Love, truth, peace, clarity, simplicity, and non-judgmental recognition in life for yourself and for others. That's how important it is. A recognition to yourself and to others. To showing up for others, to know that you are showing up for them, and you believe in their greatness, their ability to do in life, whatever it is that needs to present itself. To emerge into your new self, you would need a guiding post, a new frame of reference to come from. So I've added in this week's module 7 key affirmations that you can state and share with yourself. Write them out and put them on a post-it notes around the house, in your bedroom, in your bathroom, in your kitchen. Consistently remind yourself where you are and where you are going. Emerging into a new self. So please sit back, relax, take a deep breath in, and let it go. Again, shoulders up, shoulders down. Take the neck, roll it around, side to side, front to back. Feel the tension release. Again, deep breath in, shoulders up. And let it out. Okay. Just relax. I want you to repeat after me. I am whole and complete. Say it out loud. I am whole and complete. I deserve authentic love and welcome joy into my life. I deserve authentic love and welcome joy into my life. I am safe in expressing who I am. I am safe in expressing who I am. I love and respect myself. I love and respect myself. I am committed to my spiritual soul growth, which is reflective in my emotional, mental, and physical healing. I am committed to my spiritual soul growth, which is reflective in my emotional, mental, and physical healing. I trust my values and am committed to expressing my worth in the world. I trust my values and am committed to express my worth in the world. I deserve to receive financial abundance in my life and return 10% back into the world through teething. And through the act of teething, you share your abundance. And even if it's a dollar a day with others who are less available to have the opportunity for financial rewards, you deserve to receive and give love. So tithing is something that you can do as a return of investment into yourself, that when other people offer you for your services, for whatever it is that you do in life, you take 10% and you provide it to rather an organization, to directly to families, to orphanages, to places that you, or causes in which you desire to support. Because when you look around the whole planet, there's only 3% of the population, 1% of the population that are actually the wealthiest people. 1%, 3% are the, you know, the so-called ultra wealthy, which really isn't. And 3% of the all of North America make over $100,000. Some countries, the annual income is $90. I'm not going to get into the details of all that, but just want to let you know that, you know, there is a reference point for everything in life. And when you expand your awareness to see that there's so many different ways of living, and what you might feel is detrimental to your own growth might be just the tip of the iceberg comparative to somebody else. So by taking a portion of what you receive, and I don't mean bartering, I don't mean volunteering, I don't mean any of that, I mean literally tithing, which is the financial gain of which you receive, offsetting that to something else. Now here's a couple that I do. Charity Water, which is charitywater.org, and that is setting up wells, clean water throughout Africa and throughout so many different countries around the world where poverty is at the highest and children die way below the age of 5 because of the disease they receive through the water, and it's not necessary. So there's that. There's a Pachamama organization working with indigenous tribes and cultures around the world, especially in Brazil and down in the tropics. And there is also Wherever I Go. I just got back from Guatemala, as you all know, and there's a young girl there that I've taken a liking to, and her mom and me get along great. And her summer, which would be our Christmas time, she will most likely be coming up for 2 months to up my place in the mountains and living with me and learning about her culture and being with Luminous. And her mom is very poor. And for some reason, whatever reason that might be, I'm sure it's a past life, I've taken a real interest in her, knowing that there is a direct link to the reason why I'm connected to her. And to show her a lifestyle where she can learn and grow into beyond the grade 6 level, of which most children do in Guatemala alone. They go to grade 6 and that's usually it. They don't have the other opportunity to extend their education. So it's just a repeated cycle. You know, or for whatever it is that really pulls your heartstrings. And here's something that I'm always on the lookout for. You know, look in your community. If you know of a family that needs food because they don't have money, they go to the food bank. If you know of a family where a young girl or boy doesn't have proper shoes for school, or winter clothes or summer clothes or whatever, or can't go to a baseball camp because it's just completely inaccessible, you know, keep your eye out for that stuff. If you know of an older woman who is alone and has no family, or her family doesn't see her anymore because now she's just too old, and anyways, for myself, I have grown up with my indigenous heritage and my generational lineage really stuck to me. And what I mean by that is that I believe in taking care of your elders. I believe that young children should be with elders to learn from, and the elders should be around children to still have that vibrancy of youth. I believe we should take care of each other and this is part of the new self emerging. That place where you get to step into a different role, a different way of being, and that you can break the chains of a societal pattern of what is common and what is not, because it wasn't your rules to play with. You didn't set them. They were set up for you. And I find society's ways and the system completely boring. And that's why I've always been outside of it, or playing completely out of it. You know, it doesn't inspire growth. It doesn't inspire individual leadership. And that is what discovering your soul's purpose is about. It's inspiration from within to grow into that place of expansiveness in your own life, to be that light for others, to be living in purpose and on purpose, to being the strength within so other people who don't have that strength can be around it and feed off of it and learn from it. And then they can too walk away with it and inspire other people. Light begets light. It also overshadows any darkness. So this week, make a list of 7 things that you have received by bringing in the 7 affirmations into your life. So take the affirmations we just spoke about, have them around your house, have a list all in place, and then I want to know what you receive by bringing the 7 affirmations into your life. And they will make a shift. They will make a change. How is that change affecting you? Where is it affecting you in your body, in your mind, in your heart, in your soul? What is transpiring? So I'm grateful to bring you this energy of love and support and guiding principles that can and will be implemented into your own life, so you can live a life of purpose, love, and self-respect from the deepest core of your being, your soul. Blessings, everyone, and know you are loved. And this is Dipper Sky King. And enjoy the evening or the day from wherever you are in the whole world. And I look forward to next week. I look forward to your emails. Please, questions, send them to info@soultherapy.ca and I will reply to them personally. Have an amazing, amazing day. We'll speak soon.